Ezekiel chapter 20 tonight. We're going to begin in verse 45. But before we begin, I thought the content I have is a little less, and I thought, well, maybe I'll take a few minutes at the beginning to talk about this name, Yahya, because it's throughout Scripture. In fact, the first time you see the use is in Genesis chapter 2. You see that name. And I want to explain why I say Yahya. What is that? Where does that come from? A lot of people, they see that, they'll say Yahweh, they'll say Jehovah, they'll say Yah, they'll say all sorts of things. But why Yahya? How you say it perhaps is not as important. Technically, the way it's pointed and everything, it's unpronounceable. But the meaning behind it is significant. And it's his name. It's not a title. It's actually his name. I want to see if, okay, that's up there. I want to see if this works. Why don't you turn? I know I had you turn to Ezekiel. Put your something there. And would you go over to Exodus chapter 3? Exodus 3, verse 14. Because there's a significant thing said here. In Exodus 3, verse 14, it says, "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." You remember the question Moses asked. Well, who will I say sent me? And no doubt the children of Israel would understand. They knew his name. And so there were a lot of different gods. I mean, you're in Egypt. Egypt, they had a lot of different gods. And so so this would differentiate. This would say, this one sent me. Who? This one, Ethia. And we'll see that. So let me just show you the actual word that's used here in Exodus 3:14. I am that I am. That's actually three words, but the I am part. And what it looks like, I'm going to try this. Again, I've not done this before, so we'll see how well it works. But if I do, let's see, tap anywhere to add drawing. Use two fingers to scroll. Let's see. Okay, oh, there we go. All right. I'm going to increase that. Okay, there we go. So if I were to draw this. Okay. So here you have... And I should end it with another one of those. That's a pretty bad drawing. But there, you see a letter here, and a letter here, and there, and there. Let's see if I can go back. So you have several letters there. And what this means is, here's the root. It's actually right there. And then that which is, I added a yod on there. Let me start this over again here. All right, we got it. Here it is. There it is. Okay, I had too many yods. So there you go. Here, the root is here, and this is added to make it first person. And what the root means, in fact, I'll give it to you in its root form over here. Here it is. It's Hayah, Hayah. And it would be pointed like that. Hayah. And that literally means, it means he exists. He exists. That's what that means. Now, then you could take this and put it into, see, that's perfect. It's completed action. And I didn't put the E there. That's completed action. But then you have... you have that which is incomplete action, and you would write that a little differently. Let's see how I can do this. I'll find a better way to erase. But here's another way to write that incomplete action. Okay? And now this... this right here is he... is existing. Anybody see all this back here? Okay, good. I might see if this will lamp control. Let's see. I don't know. I'll have to play with this in the future. We can maybe brighten it. But okay, so that's what this is. This is Yichya right here. Okay, so we'll get rid of that. What he wrote here, though, is that same word, only he didn't say he exists. He says, I exist. That's what he said. That's what he said his name was. And that would be pointed Echya, like that, those segals, Echya. And that would be pointed like that. Schwa. Okay, so Echya, that is I am existing. That's what he says. Who am I? What's your name? He says, Asher Echya, meaning I am existing that I am existing. That's his name. That's his name. And he says, that's what you tell me. Tell others who I am. And so, okay, so you see that there in the text. But in these other places, you'll see, it doesn't say Echya, doesn't use Echya, because, and I will say, because people don't call him I am existing. They would say he is existing. And that's that same basic form that you see everywhere for his name. I'm going to write it here. And it's slightly different. And the reason it's slightly different here, I'll explain in just a minute. Technically, this is unpronounceable. This is, you have a y and then a h sound and then a wa, yihwa, something like that, yihwa. But it's technically an unpronounceable way. and it wasn't made, it wasn't pointed this way to pronounce it. It's unpronounceable. It's made this particular way. It's written this particular way to distinguish it as his name as opposed to just the regular verb, he is existing. Because you see, he is existing all over the place in scriptures. And so this with the wow, which is not strange to change the yod to a wow. And so, okay, so you can see that it's based off this idea of he is existing. That's the name. That's the basic understanding of what his name means. He is existing. And you'll see if you're in Exodus chapter 3, you can turn over to Exodus chapter 6 and you can see what he says there. Exodus 6 verse 3 says, "And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty," which would be El Shaddai. "But by my name, Yichya, was I not known to them," which is an interesting, what he means by that. And we'll look into that sometime. But you see that name Yichya used here. This is my name. It's in the same context. He told Moses, this is my name, Echya Asher Echya. And then he uses this name. Yichya, this is my name. And so this is the name of God, and it's used all throughout the Old Testament. And so when you see that capital L-O-R-D, or you might even see capital G-O-D, what that means is it's Yichya. What it is his name, not a title. It's his name, and it means he is existing. And you can see that concept throughout scriptures. That's the basis for everything. He's the foundation. And that's another concept perhaps we'll look into sometime. Everything is foundational. That's, you might call it Hebrew thinking, but I think we should rather call it thinking as the Lord designed it. Everything is built off a foundation. And you see it even in Jesus's parable. But the Lord is that foundation, and everything's weighed against the foundation or that standard. But we'll talk more about that another time. His name, though, I want us to just remember, just to try and show you that his name is Yichya. That's the understanding of it. Though technically, the way it's written here and pointed, technically is unpronounceable. And people say it's Yahweh, but what they do is they take Adonai, those vowel points, and they impose it upon these consonants. So that's not really accurate either. And what does it mean? It means Yahya, he is existing. Okay. Any questions about that? It's significant, right? I mean, it's his name. Doesn't he talk a lot about his name? Should we not know his name? Jews say, well, you can't speak his name. Is that what the Lord says? Don't speak my name? No, he didn't say that. So, that's important, significant. Try to bring that out a little bit more. And maybe after, if you'd like this, I have some of that stuff written down here as well. We're going to see that name tonight, even. I'm going to turn this off, and then we'll begin here. Okay, so you're in, you should be going to Ezekiel chapter 20, and we'll look at verse 45 here. In the Hebrew text that we use, they begin chapter 21 with verse 45. And I think you'll see, because the content goes right in hand with chapter 21. But let's read these verses. It says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward the south, and drop thy word toward the south, and prophesy against the forest of the south field. And say to the forest of the south, Hear the word of the Lord, or hear the word of Yahya. Thus saith the Lord Yahya, Behold, I will kindle a fire in thee, and it shall devour every green tree in thee, and every dry tree. The flaming flame shall not be quenched, and all faces from the south to the north shall be burned therein. And all flesh shall see that I, Yahya, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. Then said I, Ah, Lord Yahya, they say of me, Doth he not speak parables?" Okay, and so let's look at the text here. He says in verse 45, "Then existed the expression of Yahya unto me to saying of Son of Man." And he tells them to do one thing, but he lists it in three different ways here. He says, "Set thy face toward the south, drop thy word toward the south, and prophesy against the forest of the south field." It's not three different things. It's one thing mentioned three times. It's interesting. He says, set your face the way of the south. Now that word south has the idea of something which is on the right hand. How does that make sense? Well, again, you have to remember that we think of up on a map would be north. But that's not true thinking anciently or thinking even biblically. Up on a map would be east. They faced east. East is forward. And so the right hand is the south. Okay, and so that's where the origin of this word. And the reason I bring that out is because he uses three different words, and they're all translated south, which is interesting. But this particular word emphasizes that which is on the right hand, the south. and then he says, "And cause to drop thy word," bloop, or distill. It's kind of to distill this word unto the south. Now that's a different word, and I believe this has to do with like the southern quarter of the sky, if you will. And then he says this, "And prophesy unto the forest of the south." This word is Negev. Negev. Have you ever heard of Negev? You'll see it on maps, even. Our maps covered up. The Negev is called the desert in the south of Israel. And in Aramaic, Negev has the idea of dryness. And so you can see how south and dryness and a dry desert, how that goes well together. But he says the south field, the Negev field. So what is he talking about here? This is a parable. This is a parable. And so he's saying, set your face the way of the south, cause to drop or distill unto the south, and prophesy unto the forest of the south field. South. South here seems to reference Judah. It references Judah. Judah's in the south of the land. If you go any further south, you're going to end up in the Red Sea. He says this in verse 47, and say to the forest of the south, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will kindle a fire in thee, and it shall devour every green tree in thee, and every dry tree. The flaming flame shall not be quenched, and all faces from the south to the north shall be burned therein. So he says, then you will say to this forest of the south, this Negev, hear the expression of Yahyah, thus said my Lord Yahyah. And he says that he's going to cause to kindle a fire, kindle in you fire. And then she, or the fire, will consume in you. In both of these things, the entirety of the green tree and the entirety of the dry tree. So both green and dry. And he says it won't be quenched. Literally, to a flame of flame, which doesn't make much sense to us, but here it's intensive. It's a burning, blazing flame. And then he says this. He says, then the entirety of the faces will be burned in her from the south north. The entirety of the flesh will see, because I exist, Yahyah. I burned her, she will not be quenched. The fire will not be quenched. So, okay, you have the south, which seems to indicate Judah. Then you have the forest, which seems to indicate the inhabitants of the land. The green tree, this seems to reference the righteous in the land. The dry seems to indicate the wicked. And both are going to be consumed in the fire, both the righteous and the wicked. And then you see the prophet's protest in that verse 49. He says, then said I, ah, Lord God, they say of me, doth he not speak parables? So is he not proverbing proverbs? It seems that Ezekiel uttered these things to the people, and they seem to indicate back to him, what you're saying is too obscure. It's too hard to understand. You're just, what are you saying? That's just too hard. That's too hard. They rejected it. There seems to be, by Ezekiel, there seems to be a understood request for an interpretation of these things. And as you go in chapter 21, you'll see some of that. You'll see the interpretation. Verse 1 says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, set thy face toward Jerusalem, and drop thy word toward the holy places, and prophesy against the land of Israel. So he's using similar words here. And say to the land of Israel, thus saith the Lord, or thus said Yahyah, behold, I am against thee, and will draw forth my sword out of his sheath, and will cut off from thee the righteous and the wicked. Seeing then that I will cut off from thee the righteous and the wicked, therefore shall my sword go forth out of his sheath against all flesh from the south to the north, that all flesh may know that I, the Lord, have drawn forth my sword out of his sheath. It shall not return any more. Sigh, therefore, thou son of man, with the breaking of thy loins, and with bitterness sigh before their eyes. And it shall be, when they say unto thee, wherefore sighest thou? That thou shalt answer for the tidings, because it cometh, and every heart shall melt, and all hands shall be feeble, and every spirit shall faint, and all knees shall be weak as water. Behold, it cometh, and shall be brought to pass, saith the Lord Yahyah. So he says, set your face unto Jerusalem. Now before he was to set his face the way of the south, and now you see it's Jerusalem. He said before, he says, cause to drop or distill. And he says the same thing, distill or drop unto the holy places. And then he says, prophesy unto the forest of the south field. And then here in verse 1, he says, prophesy unto the land of Israel. So he uses those same verbs there in that same order. And so you can see how he's taken it from this parable and brought it into a more plain saying. And it seems, this seems to be what he's talking about, to focus on the area, the land, rather than the inhabitants. You can't really separate the land from the inhabitants. But we'll see here that he is going to cut off everyone from the land, except for a very, very small remnant. And that's what he's prophesying about. And in verses 3 through 5, you see the prophecy, how he will cause his sword to go out of its sheath. So he's going to bring his sword out of its sheath, and he will cause to cut off righteous and wicked. And it's for this reason that his sword is going out of its sheath, to do that. He uses this phrase that we've seen, the entirety of flesh will know because I exist, Yahya. I cause to go out my sword from her sheath. She will not return until, literally, until. Until what? Until it's done. Until. And so, it's true, both the righteous and the wicked, they're going to be cut off from the land. In fact, the land is going to be desolate. And many were already taken in the captivity, both righteous and wicked. They're going to be cut off from the land. And this slaughter is going to consume the land. And then in verses 6 and 7, you see here this sign, the groan, the sigh. He says, sigh therefore, son of man, with the breaking of thy loins, and with bitterness sigh before their eyes. So he says, groan. In breaking of loins. The idea is the front and the back here of this, in breaking of these things, in bitterness to their eyes. So it's going to be before them that they would see this. And this was to show the reaction, show the understanding that he had of the knowledge of the sword that would be upon the land and that it would consume everything like this fire. And it's you think about it. And I think this is important. They're going to ask the question, why are you sighing? And he'll give an answer, for the tidings, because it cometh, and every heart shall melt, and hands shall be feeble, and every spirit shall faint, and all knees shall be weak as water. Behold, it cometh, and shall be brought to pass, saith the Lord God. So, you might think of, if Ezekiel understood these things, do you think he could be, and if he really cared, do you think he could be unaffected? Do you think he could be unaffected by these things? It's like saying with a smile on your face, you know, my house is going to burn down tonight. You know, I know it's going to happen. Maybe that's a little, you know, sadistic, we might think. Maybe it's just not with a smile, but just without emotion, just saying, yeah, you know, world's going to be destroyed. Okay. The way that's said might send a mixed message. You might say, well, his words say this, but he's not really concerned, so I guess it's not as severe as he says it is. You know, it just kind of is okay about these things. And I want to bring this particular thing out here because you and I have a message, don't we? We do. And it is a severe one. And I was thinking about this. I wonder if people were to behold us, do we show in our behavior the reality of the word of the Lord? I mean, no doubt we say that it's pretty severe. You know, the reality of the lake of fire, for instance, it's something I believe we ought to ponder. Do I really express that, or do I just kind of say, my words say it's important, but me, my reaction, my life, it doesn't really say that. It's a mixed message. You think about it. You know, are we not prophets? You say what? Prophets? Are we not prophets? We think of a prophet maybe is someone who foretells something. And that's not really what that word means. But we are prophets in that we are to speak on behalf of the Lord, the word of the Lord. We're prophets to the nation that we're in, aren't we not? To a degree. Prophets to our family, to our coworkers, our community, our state, our nation, this world. I just think this is interesting. You know, do I send a mixed message? I say these things, but then I'm my life doesn't really show that it's that important, that big of a deal. He's going to sigh. The Lord tells him to groan in breaking of loins and bitterness to their eyes. And he says, they're going to ask, well, why are you doing that? Why are you so upset? And he's going to answer, it's for the tidings, it's the report, it's the heard thing, the thing that we've heard here. Because, literally, because coming it exists. And he says, and every heart will melt, and all hands will be feeble, and every spirit faint, and all knees shall be weak. It says here, as weak as water. And he ends saying, behold, it cometh. Then it will be, then it will exist. You know, it's kind of hard sometimes to sympathize when, for instance, you think, all of this happened so long ago and doesn't affect me, and so, or you can think about things happening in across the world. We'll use Iran because they have these protests and people being killed. And it can be easy not to be too affected by it because it's so far away. I don't know any of these people. Not a big deal. And you know, I've got my own problems. And we can feel a little bit removed from those things. And perhaps even the people in Israel, in Jerusalem, maybe they felt a little removed from these things because it wasn't happening. We've got, you know, it wouldn't happen for a few years. But the reality is it would come and they would feel it. Their heart would melt. Their hands would be feeble. Every spirit faint. All knees weak, he says. And I just think perhaps sometimes maybe we are a little too far removed from the plight of the lost, from their condition, from what's really coming. I think about Job, what Job did. I'll just read a few verses in Job 29, 12 through 17. And there's a context here. But Job says, because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him, the blessings of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not I searched out. And I brake the jaws of the wicked, and plucked the spoil out of his teeth. You think about that. Job was quite a man. Job was quite a man. Proverbs 29:7 says, the righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. And there's conditions, and there are physical conditions, sure, but I'm speaking specifically of spiritual conditions that people are in, and sometimes, perhaps, we don't regard to know it. We don't think about it. We don't consider it, maybe. Proverbs 14:25, a true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. Proverbs 24:11 through 12 says, if thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not. Doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall he not render to every man according to his works? So, now Ezekiel was speaking to these people, and he was doing what the Lord instructed him. He was very detailed, said, do this and do this. And he was to show the people the anxiety, not the anxiety, but the emotion of what was going to happen and befall upon all of these people. And there was no stopping it. It would come to pass. And you notice what he says at the end of verse 7. He says, saith the Lord God. Saith. Literally, an utterance of my Lord Yahweh. And again, when he uses those phrases, what it means is he's quoting him. This is what came out of the mouth of God, if you will. This is what he said to Ezekiel to say. And this is what he said. So we'll get into more of this next time. he goes on further to explain some of these things about the sword and how it's sharpened and how all of this is going to take place. And he's going to get into to the king and what will happen and how will there be a king. And talks about Nebuchadnezzar and all of that coming up. But again, the thought tonight with these things, doom is coming, and Ezekiel was there to show them doom is coming. Express that to them, not only in the words, but here he was to show them with his behavior as well. And perhaps that's something we should think about. Lord, I thank you that for this time to spend in your word thinking about these things, and I ask you to guide us to appropriately represent you and represent the condition that these people are in, to have the proper concern, even as Job did for the people in his day, and as Ezekiel did in his day. Help us to be faithful in these things, to be mindful of them, to give ourselves to thought on these things, and you'd guide us. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.